you praise. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Thank you. Even for this power convention. Someone's hearing. I believe you're dull of hearing in one ear. One ear. You know significantly dull. Just put your hand on that hair. Just put your hand on that hair. Do I pronounce it right? Don't mind my grammar, but the hair is not iron. Yeah, 80. Uh-huh. Dull of hearing. You're losing your hearing in one hair. Put your hand in there. And God's touch. I don't see who it is. Okay, it's at the back there. Yes, Father, thank you. I command that hair to open in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Most High. Give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for tonight. Thank you because before there was a very first day, this day was written in your books. And that which shall be had been written in there. Thank you because we'll experience it all, whether we, those who are here physically, those who are online watching now or later. Thank you because the same presence overwhelms everyone. Thank you, Lord, because as I speak tonight, just as it happened in the book of Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit falls upon every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please don't sound like Pastor N.Y.'s Moses. I say hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We have very little time. I've been warned by Pastor BJ. But it's okay. We're open tonight. Amen. And we have a few days. Hallelujah. To enjoy God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. But it's great to have you here. I began to think also tonight about the vision of a power convention. And the vision is to ensure that at least, if we're not, the essence, almost like what Brother Egan was saying before he died, that there's a move of God that will be lost to this generation, except somebody shows them, both by precept and by example. You know, he said God began to speak to him and said, look, you can leave the teaching of faith to some of the other guys to teach faith. I still want an improvement in this sound, if it's possible. If you don't mind, please. More treble, less bass. Okay? More treble, less bass. So, and Brother Egan said that, you know, that there's a move of a spirit that will be lost to this generation, except if they are taught both by precept and example. And so in the latter years of his life, he spent a lot of time doing Holy Ghost meetings. And God told him and said, look, the teaching of faith, I have many people who can do that now. You know, Casey Price, blah, blah, there are many people can teach it well, perhaps can teach it better than you. He said, but there's a move of the spirit that will be lost. And it's a similar thing that God laid in my heart many years ago about the power convention. But we'll come together so that people will never forget about the power of God. Because church had become usual. Church had become common. Church had become routine. Church had become religious. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, because I'm a student of Bible, of church history, I found out that many people don't even know the history of many of the churches we see around. You know, so people even begin to talk and say, oh, well, we don't know what all these Pentecostals are doing. You know, me, I like the Orthodox Church. You know, I like our, and I laugh at them because I say to myself, they don't know the history of that church they're talking about. Because if they knew the history, if you knew the history, for instance, of the Methodist Church and the things that will happen, I mean, the ministers in the Methodist Church, John, Charles Wesley, Peter Cartwright, George Whitefield, they will warn people and say, don't sit on top of anything when I start to preach. You tell them, I won't start preaching except you all come down and sit properly. He said, because when I start preaching, God's power will hit you and you will fall from that place. So that's the Methodist Church. Are you with me? So people don't, it's easy to move away. That's what Hebrews chapter 2 was talking about. He said we need to give the earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Meaning that there's a possibility, the word drift is specific. It means that you can shift away, but you shift very slowly. Away from what you used to know and what you used to believe. And if you're not careful, over time, you will completely unbelieve what you used to believe. Amen. I said amen. Okay, we'll manage tonight, but the sound is not great. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So the idea of power convention is that when we come together in these 4 days, we are reminded, not just God's word. God's word is important. God's word is primary, is foundational to everything that is done. Amen. However, we are also reminded of the power of God and the reality of the power of God and the things that God can do. Are you with me? We're also reminded that the things that God does are not only done, or were not only done in Bible times, but they are also still being done today. Can I hear you say today? That God still moves in the same way today. As a matter of fact, when you read what we call the New Testament, which is Matthew, Mark, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not really, really New Testament, but what we call New Testament in division in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are recordings about the life of Jesus. Then if you take the book of Acts, that's also historical, and they are recordings about the first set of Christians that walked on the earth. Okay, and then it follows with the letters, which are doctrinal, and they are teachings about how Christians ought to be and the things that Christians ought to know, both about their redemption and how it was purchased and what it means for them and who we are in Christ. What is our real identity now? That's what those letters are about. However, the one that is historical and called the Book of Acts, and is a recording about how Christians lived and what they did, is the only book in that New Testament that had no definite conclusion. Are you with me? It's the only book where there was no conclusion. It just stopped. Why? Because there can't be a conclusion, because it is a book about Christians and how they live in Christ, and you and I are still here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that the book of the Acts of Apostles is still being written today. And just as they wrote about Apollos, as they wrote about, their name now that taught Apollos? Aquila and Priscilla. Just as they wrote about Stephen, they want to write about Shegun. The writing about Shegu is still continuing today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why that book was never concluded. Because there can't be a conclusion when the church has not ended. Are you still with me? Look at your neighbor. Say, there is still a chapter about you that is being written now. Now, what will be in those chapters? Are you with me? What will be in those chapters? I mean, Stephen, they wrote Stephen's own, and they saw the mighty works he did. And then he was martyred for Christ. What would they write about your own? How that your shoe opened when you were walking. They say, God, why have you forsaken me? Are you still there? Philip will write about what we call Philip's transport. How he disappeared from one place and appeared in another. Abi? So when we get to everyone, we're comparing chapters. And he said, where's your own chapter? Are you still there, anybody? Hallelujah. Okay, very quickly, let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So that's, in a nutshell, is what power convention is about. It's a reminder that we are not meant to live ordinary lives. It's a reminder that the Bible is just not an ordinary book. It's a reminder that there's nothing ordinary about a Christian. Can I hear an amen? Amen? It's a reminder that you are a supernatural being. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, if we say that we are in him, then we ought also to walk as he walked. Meaning that if we claim that we are Christians in Christ, that's what it means. He said, then we ought to have a manner of life like him. What does that mean? It means that I ought to be a proof producer. It means that I have to have stories. I have to have testimonies. I have to have things to say, but I'm not ordinary. Are you hear what I'm saying? Psalm 71, I believe the psalmist was writing. He said, I am as a wonder to many. He said, but you, O Lord, are my secret. Hallelujah. It means that people ought to look at you and they will find that there are certain things that are just wonderful about this person. Are you still with me, anybody? I remember back then, many years ago, in 100 level, and we had written, what's it called, chemistry 157, it was. And those who knew that chemistry 157 was meant to be a disaster for me. But I trusted God. And I remember as we queued up in front of that window that day, and we were passing our numbers, and they were giving us the results, and the person wrote back and wrote, and I had 7 points. The person behind me shouted, that is God. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. There'll be things in your life that is not you. The people around you will shout and say, that must be God. Are you still with me, anybody? That's the life of a believer. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Say we will read it, Abby. At least this night we will read it, Abby. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Please note, it says he always. Can I hear you say always? Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. It said, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who have been saved and among those who are perishing. Let me try to read that in the New Living Translation to you. And here the Bible says, but thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance, rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who have been saved and those who are perishing. The idea of this text, number one, is that it challenges our normal, usual, routine mentality. Which is, I'm sure you have heard things like people saying that we win some, we lose some. You know, you can't always have it. You can't have it all. You can't always have it your way. We don't always get everything we wish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, when we were in secondary school and we were in fellowship, they taught us, they said, and our life is like a yo-yo. You know yo-yo? That is that it will go up and it will come down. And it will go up and it will come down. And then they said, but the beauty of it is that every time it goes up and it comes down, it will not go as down as before. And when it goes up, it will go higher than before. But it will go up and it will come down. It will go up and it will come down. And I never forgot it until I read this scripture, and the Bible book completely dismisses that teaching. Are you hearing me? And it says that thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And I thought to myself, it means that we win. Hallelujah. It means we win some, no lose some. It means at all times we win. Now, one of the issues with the Bible is that when you read the Bible, it will tend to shake you. It's like your brain will start clapping, you know, because you are thinking, but that's not what I know. That's not what I experienced. That's not what I've seen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It will shake you up. But that is correct. That is what it's meant to do. Why? Because God spoke to us in Isaiah 55. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As far as the east is from the west, so are my ways and my thoughts from yours. How far is the east from the west? They can't meet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is saying, and when you look at it in the original Hebrew, he was talking about the quantity, but not just the quantity, he was talking about the quality. God was saying, the way I think, the way I see things is completely different from yours. So when you read the Bible and you immerse yourself as a student of the Bible, one of the things it will do to you many times is that it will make you to stop and start thinking and start praying and saying, God, what does this mean? God, how can this be true? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, and he said, ask and you shall be, and you shall receive. He said, knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Then he went in verse 8 and he said, for everyone that asketh receiveth. I said, everyone that asketh receiveth. That's what shook me up. Because it means that when I'm praying, God is not saying yes, no, wait a while. He said, everyone that asketh, receive it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we'll have to come to the place where we will dump our own thinking and just accept his own thinking. So when as a believer you start talking Bible and somebody says you have lost your mind, say thank you. Thank you. I've been trying to lose it for a long time so that I can have and walk in the mind of Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've been trying to get rid of mine and get his own to function in my mind 24/7. Are you with me? As I prayed and prepared for this meeting, what kept ringing in my head was Victor's mentality. Victor's mentality. Is there any Victor here? It's not just you. Okay, so it's not copyrighted to you. This is for everybody. Can I hear it's a victor's mentality? Because there's a way a victor must think. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the way you must think is that you win. There's no losing. The other thing this text is telling us, moving on very quickly, is that your winning is not because of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That meaning that you are not going to win or you will not be winning just because of you. It goes beyond you. He said the reason why it's so is because we are the fragrance of Christ. So there's a commitment of God to make sure that that fragrance of Christ is good, sweet-smelling perfume. Are you following what I'm saying? There's a commitment of God, and this is the summary of everything I'm saying tonight. There are many things to say, but even if I don't get there, this is the summary of what I'm saying tonight, is that there is a commitment by God to see you win, because he is invested in your life being an advertisement, being a fragrance of his knowledge. When I was in secondary school, some people use perfume. And when they use perfume, no prejudice to any tribe, people will say to us, that's Hausa perfume. Because there's some perfumes that when the person uses it, enters the place. Oh my God, you wish they didn't use anything. You prefer body odor. Because that thing is choking you. I don't even know what I'm talking about. The thing is choking you. Oh my God. You know, in fact, recently I went and I what did I even buy from? Okay, I went to buy battery, you know, from this guy that's in front of the church in Lagos. And because I bought battery and I told him, look, I got people to come and buy from very far from you. And all of that, thank you very much. He says, look, Pastor, I'm going to give you this car perfume. Then he took this thing and he went and he started tying the rope on my car. So when I saw the rope and the way, and it looked like, what do they call it? Like talisman. Small thing like this, you know, like a dough. I said, what's this one? He said, no, guys, it's very good. I said, it's not. I hope it's not the one that when I put on my AC like that, if I carry anybody, before you know it, they are all coughing. I said, please, it's better you don't give me anything. He said, no. I said, it will come out small. You don't just feel the place. He said, don't worry. I promise you, Pastor, this one is very good. I'm giving you the good one. Meaning there's a bad one. Are you still there? Look at somebody and say, you are God's sweet swelling perfume. Let's read that again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. What's he saying? You are the God that people will see. That's what he's saying. That it's through you that God will be manifest to several people. Are you hearing me? And that is why he said in verse 13, so thanks be to God who leads us in triumph, for we are the fragrance of Christ. For we are the fragrance of Christ. So God's commitment to my victory. And that's the way I ought to be thinking. is that God is so committed to my victory that it's not about me. It's not about my ability. It's not about my strength. It's not about my connections. The only thing that has to do with me is for me to believe God. It's for me to trust in God. You know, they walked up to Jesus and said, "What must I do the works of God?" And he said, "All you have to do is believe. That's all. To do the works of God," he said, "just believe in him who he has sent." So my part in doing the works of God is to believe in Jesus. God's part is that God is over invested. He's over invested. And I'm saying these things to you tonight about victor's mentality, because it's very easy to think right when things are going smoothly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When everything is just going the way you are planned it, maybe you have a 1-year plan, 2-year plan, 5-year plan, everything is just going, just as you are planned. But when it looks like it's not going that way, you need this victor's mentality that is convinced and says to yourself, "I don't understand what's going on, but all I know is that I win. And why I win is because God is behind me. It's because God is committed to me." Are you following what I'm saying? So when Job was going through what he was going through, I like the book of Job. I don't know if you're one of those that skips the book of Job, you know, and then you don't want to read it, because some people think that when you read it, maybe you go through what Job went through. You know, so they skip the book of Job. It's not a very nice book. They move on to another one. I like the book of Job because I think it teaches so many things, even to us now as believers in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And Job was going through the dark time. But listen, as dark as it was just about 1 to 1.5 years. Historians have studied it and said it was 1 to 1.5 years. Job, as the richest man in the East, had a bad year. But have you realized how sometimes you are going through something and it's just 1 week? But that week, 1 week looks like the world has ended. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't let the devil fool you. It's not over till it's over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Job had great years, and then he had one bad year. It was a very bad year, but it was just one bad year. And after the bad year, Job bounced back with a vengeance. And the Bible says that he had more than he had before. Are you still hearing what I'm saying? And the hand of Job was greater than his beginning. But during that bad year, this is the victor's mentality. Go to Job chapter 23. Job 23. Because you need that mentality to be able to see the end. James was talking about Job. And he said, "We consider them blessed to endure." He said, those that we see and we say they are blessed, he says, it's the people that endure. He said, because we were able to see Job and the end that God intended, meaning that God had a plan. Are you hear what I'm saying? He said, but it's because Job endured that we were able to see that plan of God and God's intention that is not over. It can't be over until you win. Are you hear what I'm saying? He said, we wouldn't have seen that except that Job endured and cooperated with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are too many believers who don't cooperate with God. Go through difficult times, walk away from God, they curse God, they walk away from church, so we don't see what God had planned. We don't see how good God is. We don't see how amazing God is. We don't see what he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that God turns all things around because they don't cooperate with God long enough. Are you hearing me? Listen, I've been through times and things that I didn't understand what was going on. I said, "God, I believed you. God, but I prayed about this. God, I thought this was..." I didn't understand what was going on, but I settled in myself that God hasn't left me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I settled it in myself that God is still working on this thing, even with my ignorance. Are you still there, anybody? Even in my faithlessness sometimes, I remind myself that he's not like me, thank God. Hallelujah. But he's still faithful. So look at what that Job's endurance is like. Job 23. Job was speaking. He was going through the dark times. This is the middle of the book of Job. Job has 42 chapters. This is chapter 23. Job said, "Look, I go forward, but he's not there. He said, I'm backward, but I can't perceive him. When he walks on the left hand, I can't see him. I can't behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I can't see him. That is forward, backward, left, right. I can't see him. I don't even know where God is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he didn't stop there. Job said, but he knows the way that I take. That's the victor's mentality. He said, but even though I can't see him, I can't feel him, I can't tell that he's still with me. He said, he knows the way that I take. He knows where I am. He knows what I'm going through. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Meaning that, look, this thing is not going to end this way. Are you still there, anybody? Go to Psalm 37. And I will try to round up and shock Pastor BJ. Psalm 37. Even though I haven't gone far. Psalm 37, are you there? Tap your neighbor, say, are you still awake? Psalm 37, verse 23. This is the victor's mentality. This is how you must be thinking. And that thinking is more essential when the times are not good. It's more essential when things are not going according to plan. It's more essential when you can't understand what's happening around you. If you must win. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is how we will be always victorious. Hallelujah. He said it, Psalm 37, verse 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I believe it's the NLT that says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in every detail of his life. That means God enjoys working on every detail of my life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He enjoys it. He just enjoys it. So when I'm sleeping, self, he's still working on the details. That door is here. Let me fix that one for him. You know that you know he's been complaining that his tailor never gets his fitting right. Let me help him. He's working on every detail of your life. I'm using the mundane things to tell you that God looks at even the things that are very small. Are you there? Because if the Bible would say that God will look at the sparrow and take care of the sparrow, he will clothe the lily. And then God says he numbers the hair of your head. Not that he knows the number, but he numbers them. He knows which one is number one, which one is number two, which one is number three. He is that detailed with your life. That you must keep in mind always. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Years ago, sorry, I mean, they called me and said, there's been trouble. A brother, he was in his house, was trying to cook, and the thing exploded. He didn't know the gas had been leaking. He went in there, you know, when you're married, and you'll be enjoying somebody's cooking. So the wife was not home, and he went in there, the thing had been leaking, he didn't know. And as he tried to strike the thing, it just exploded. It caught fire, ran out, that way. People came, help, blah, 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 and doused the fire on him, doused the fire on the house and all of that. And he was admitted in the hospital in Lutz. So he called me and he said, this has happened. You know, so I went to see him there. And as I entered the ward, the wife met me at the door. Say, Setman, please, so Setman, she, I don't know. Say you pray that his eyebrow will grow back. I was thinking, I don't know. You know, let Alpha live first. You understand what I'm talking about? What is this eyebrow? I didn't even realize the value of eyebrow. Maybe women just scrape it off, Abby. So, I mean, women are very interesting people. Yeah, they scrape it and then they paint a new one back. Why did you remove the one that was there? You know, so, and that was the thing. She said, actually, you pray that God will, the eyebrow will grow back. I said, eyebrow. I said, okay, there's nothing God cannot do. If eyebrow is that important to you, eyebrow, no, So when we stood there, spoke to the brother, he was all covered up in, you know, bandage and all of that. And we prayed and I said, God, do the shocking thing. Let his recovery be fast. Let it be total and all of that. And I came back about 3 days later and this is the eyebrow is going, the eyebrow. Are you with me? Look at someone and say, God will grow your eyebrow. So I'm saying to you that whatever is important to you is important to him. Are you still with me, anybody? Listen, even things as grave as death. We don't have time to read the scriptures, but if you go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was writing about death as if he was writing about somebody who just took a walk and went to another city. How can you write that way? He said, look, for us to be absent here is just to be present with the Lord. That's all it is. There's no big deal. What's he saying? He's saying head or tail we win. He's saying that even when it comes to something as hard as death, we can't lose. We still win. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we didn't lose the person, he went to a better place. Are you still there? You know, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland talking sometime, and he said, you know, Gloria Copeland had a brother. He said that guy, any shirt, anything he has, he will cut the sleeves off. So his shirt was always sleeveless. Okay, that's him. He said they gave him dress shirt, you know, dress shirt, with the one with tie. He cut the sleeves off. That's the way we wear it. And he was a truck driver. He said this guy had an accident in the truck, and the truck, you know, crashed completely. The guy died. The truck caught fire. He got burnt in it. And that it really bothered Gloria a lot, the way the guy died. That why would he die that way? And all of that. He said, but there was a lady who had an experience and went to heaven. And the lady was sharing the testimony with them and said, look, you know, I saw this, I saw that, I saw that. He said, but there was somebody I saw, very strange guy. He said he was the only one who didn't have sleeves. He said, when I saw him, he came to me and he said, please tell Gloria that I didn't die in the fire. He said, she will understand. And when the lady told him, I said, I saw one guy, very strange guy. He was the only one without sleeves. And he said, I should tell Gloria that he did not die in the fire. Meaning, I was just absent from the body. I was gone. He said, and that broke the grief that Gloria had. Are you with me? Paul was writing about the same thing in Philippians chapter 1. And he said, I don't even know which one to choose. To be here, to go, I don't know which one. I mean, how do you talk about things like that? He's saying we win all the time. We're always victorious. Are you with me, anybody? I said, are you still there? Let me tell you, the bottom line is this. Is that you must know that God loves you too much. Huh? You must know that God loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, we have known and believed. We have known and believed in the love that God has for us. We don't just know it or know of it. We must believe in that love. There are many times I go through things and I just say to God, I don't know, but I know that you love me too much. You will sort this matter out. Because this thing matters to me. You know how this thing will disturb me, how it's disturbing me. And I know you will sort it out. I know it will be okay. I know you are working on it. I know you have my best in mind. Are you still there? Go to Romans chapter 8. Let's try to wrap it up. Are you getting anything? Romans chapter 8. Let's try to read that from verse 28. Romans 8. Are you still there? So the victor's mentality really is being certain and convinced and unshakable in your belief in God's love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is that you are just there. You just believe it. But why is it not? I don't know. But I know God loves me. Why is it like this? I don't know. But I know God loves me. I know he's working on my case. I know he's doing what's best for me. I know he's doing the very best possible for me. Are you there? And I will not stop believing that. Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 28. He said, and we know. Can I hear you say we know? We're not guessing. We're not thinking. We're not wishing. He said, we know that all things without exception work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, this he also called. Whom he called, this he also justified. Whom he justified, this he also glorified. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. That's the demonstration of his love. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 talks about that. He said God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, demonstration is beyond theory. Can I hear you say beyond theory? So in theory, they just teach you, they write on the blackboard, you put on the chalk, whiteboard and whatnot, and they are telling you, this is it, this is that. Demonstration, they will show you that that thing they are writing and they are saying this, the theory, it really works in real life. Are you there? They said God demonstrated that love. He didn't just theorize and tell us he loves us. He demonstrated that love in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still even not thinking about him, Christ died for us. How much more now that I'm committed to him? Are you there? He said, he who did not spare his own son, verse 32, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him freely, also freely, can I hear you say freely? Give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of God. So this is the key issue, is that whatever will make me lose must separate me from that love. I must be separated in my thinking. I must be separated in my reality. I must stop thinking that God loves me. God cares about me. That's the way down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what? Nothing must separate me. That's the whole essence of what Paul was writing here. That nothing, even the things that I don't understand, the things that seem to be against me, I must know and be convinced that all things are working together for my good. Are you still there? That God will turn everything around for my good. He said, who shall, verse 35, separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Can I hear you say I'm persuaded? He said that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you still there? Let me try and close there. I mean, I've been reading again the autobiography, Pat Robertson, the founder of CBN. And it's called I Have Walked with a Living God. Oh, that book is an amazing book. You should get it. I strongly recommend it. Easy read, but lovely. Just telling his story of his walk with God. He just died this year? I think he died this year at 90-something. Huh? It's last year, 90-something. It's he and Copeland that were aiming for 120 years. And he told Copeland, you will preach at my funeral. You know, whether I'm 120 and I die, you will preach. Are you still with me? So he wrote the book, I've Walked with the Living God. And one of the stories he told there, he said there was a time his son was sick. He said, and he was praying, that fever was high. He said they were doing everything they could, all the treatment, nothing seemed to be working. He said that day they'd be praying. He said all of a sudden one day the revelation hit him that God loves this child 1,000 times more than I do. God cares more than I do. Why am I thinking that God, I have to convince God to do something? He said, and I committed the boy to God. He said something strange happened that night. He said that fever broke. He said by the morning the boy was walking up and down, nothing was wrong with him anymore. But what was the revelation? He said, I realized that God loved him 1,000 times more than I did. And that was all he needed to believe for that thing to break. Do you believe in the love of God? For you. Not for anybody else, for you. If you were the only one on the earth, you know Christ would still have come and died for you. If it was just you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody say, how can that be? Because 1 John chapter 2 tells us, He said Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He said not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Meaning that he died for everybody, even though God knew that not everybody will accept. So even if it was just you, you would still have died. God loves you that much. God wants you that much. God is committed to you that much. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to believe it through thick and thin. He loves me. I cannot say why. He loves me. I cannot say why. On Calvary's tree, he suffered for me, oh. He loves me, I cannot say why. He loves me, I cannot say why. He loves me, I cannot say why. But on Calvary's tree, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot say why. Stand on your feet. Say he loves me, I cannot say why. He loves me, I cannot say why. But on Calvary's tree, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot say why. It's me, oh, everybody point at me and say, he loves me, I cannot say why. You are not obedient. I say, point at me. Say, he loves me, I cannot say why. But on Calvary's tree, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot say why. Somebody feels like you've done things that are really, really terrible. And you feel like you've done things that are unforgivable. God is telling you tonight is love. I'm speaking to someone specifically. God is telling you that his love is way more than that. He said love covers a multitude of wrongs. That sin consciousness is broken. And you are thinking to yourself, God cannot bless me. The things I have done, they may not even be big to other people, but it's very big to you. And you are saying, what I have done, it's secret, but God knows, and I have offended God. There's no way God will bless me. God is telling you tonight that his love is way bigger than that. And his love has your sin forgiven and forgotten. On Calvary's tree, he suffered for me. He loves me, I cannot say why. That person, just speak to God tonight and say, God, I receive your love for me. I receive your love for me. And I come back to you with my whole heart. Thank you for loving me like you do. Thank you for embracing me tonight. I'm breaking that shame consciousness. But on Calvary Street,